Welcome to a new episode of Liftoff, a Jets football podcast with your host, Chris, and from playlikeajet.com, Mr. Sean McPhillip. And remember, you can follow us on Twitter/X at Liftoff Jets. You can follow myself at CP7NY. You can follow Sharman at GrownFolk1980. You can also read his columns on playlikeajet.com as well. And you can find our podcast wherever you find your podcasts at Spotify, Apple, Google, Amazon, and iHeartRadio. And you can also find us at SportsWire Radio, which has a new website at sportswireradio.org. And you can follow the station manager there, Thomas Bryce, at ThomasBryce2017, for all the scheduling of all the other great shows. So, Sharman, another week, another game. Seems like we keep watching the same game every week. I don't know.
What is that called again? Groundhog's Day?
Yeah, exactly.
Basically, that's what it is for Jets fans. The thing that pains us the most is the fact that we're pretty well educated about our team. I don't want to take shots at anybody else, but I think that we're probably one of the most knowledgeable football fans out there. And it when you see the conversations online, most of it is detailed and well studied. That's crazy. That's not something you see a lot around the internet. And I check. I know there are the, you know, emotional fans that are just, you know, look, he is running wide open. not really, but you know, that's fine. We will really be hitting the nail on the head today. I think more and more, the more Chris and I find a way to condense our show, still have fun talking about football, but make it so that it's more, manageable, yeah, to listen.
We don't want to get too in detail because, you know what, yes, everybody sees the same thing. We might see it differently, but in the end of the day, it's
the same.
The offense still is not getting it done. Whether you want to blame Zach Wilson, you want to blame the receivers, you want to blame the offensive line, you want to blame the offensive coordinator. Like we said,
there's a lot of blame to go around, but I think certain things just stick out like a sore thumb.
I got one thing.
Yeah. Go ahead. Give me that one thing.
I'm going to give you one thing. For me,
yes, sir.
It's getting to be kind of on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
It's coaching, because there's no discipline. Oh. There's no discipline on this team. How many games are, you know, lost because of a penalty here and there, a late hit or a holding call? And, you know, and it's not just the offense. It's mostly the offense with the holding calls, obviously. But we also seen last week, Bryce Huff has played great all season. We've been saying, sign him, everything. He's great. But the late hit below the knees too, like both. It was late and it was below the knees. So, you know, you can't do that to the quarterback. And for me, that goes back to coaching. It's discipline and also preparation for this team. For me, it looks like the offense is like, they don't know what the hell they're doing sometimes on offense. And it's not Zach either.
It just,
you know, they're bumping into each other. They're, you know, you could see that
running the wrong routes. Guys are places where they're not supposed to be. Yep.
I get it. So I'm not just pointing the finger at Zach. I point the finger a lot at the coaching, because this was game 9. You're going to tell me the offensive coordinator could not have figured out, okay, with Zach Wilson, he's not this. We can't run the same offense we had with Aaron Rodgers. We have to simplify it, whatever we have to do to it, whatever word you want to use, change it. You're going to tell me by week 9, you can't get this offense humming a little bit better with Zach Wilson? Zach Wilson is, I'm not praising him and I'm not putting him down, but he can't be as bad as what we're looking at. He's got to be better than this.
He is not. That's the craziest thing. The craziest thing about this is that Zach Wilson is exactly what we picture him to be. As Jets fans, throughout what he went through last year, we have settled on the fact, I think, that he's a backup quarterback. And that's what Zach Wilson is. Zach Wilson is an NFL backup quarterback. That means he's better than any homegrown quarterback trying to make it in the NFL, right? But he falls way short of being a starter. And even shorter than being one of the better quarterbacks or elite quarterbacks in the NFL. And the reason why is because he's very incredibly inconsistent. He could flash and make a couple really good throws here and there, which he did. Which he did. There was a couple drives here where Zach Wilson looked not bad. Making throws, making good throws, using his feet, maneuvering in the pocket. All that stuff was on display. The problem is, like you said, your first point was penalties, 8 penalties, 7 of them on the offense in the first half. And all of them came either when Zach had just made a really great play or on third down. One of the worst teams in the NFL on third down. Why? Mostly because 3rd and 8 or better, there's a penalty. It turns into 3rd and 11 or 3rd and 15. And it's happened so many times that, again, it feels like it's Groundhog's Day. And Chris is right. It is incredibly undisciplined as a pro football player to make mistakes like they've done. It is just crazy that it happens so often. And when you have a quarterback that's already one of his biggest deficiencies is his consistency, then you take away the good plays he makes by making mistakes when he makes those big plays. And guess what? He doesn't have that many of them. So if he only has 10 for the game, and 7 of them you made mistakes when he actually completed the pass, he doesn't have any more. He just has 2. Everything else he has is bad. So that's unfortunately what's going on here. I want to add one of my points. Chris, along the same line of Chris, what Chris was saying, and I want to call out the play caller. Chris said that the game plan sucks and the play calling sucks. It's true. He has simplified it. But guess what? He simplified it to the point where it looks like a child's Madden game. That's what it looks like. Because a lot of the stuff is ridiculous. Doesn't make any kind of sense. Guys look confused. They're either not going where they're supposed to. It does not make any... To tell you the truth, I want to sit down with somebody that knows more football with me and explain to me why because I've watched enough to know that there's concepts that develop slowly. And most of them take time. So if a concept's developing slowly, that means everybody's running longer down the field. But if everybody's not running that long, it's kind of intermediate. Why is it moving like everybody's running in tar? Doesn't make any sense to me. You know, guys are basically kind of in the same area. It looks so bad. And what it indicates to me, more than the undiscipline and the bad coaching, is that the players do not believe in what he's teaching. When players don't believe in what you teach them, this is what happens. They look like they're uninterested. Right. They want to play as well as they can, but it does not inspire them. And that's the problem. I think one more point I want to make about the coaching, the details and situational issues. Robert Saleh is a very good rah-rah coach. He's very good glue for an organization when it comes to the locker room and your players and the front office and all that, right? But he has a serious problem with situational football. You can't tell me that at the end of the game there, when you had to call a timeout, you're looking for the referee to call the timeout. You should be right in his ear before that.
Right.
You should make it clear to him, this is what I'm going to do. Hey, ref, this is what I'm going to do. In the next so-and-so, I'm going to me calling a timeout right here and there. You ready? You ready? 1, 2, 3. Right now.
Yep.
No. Trying to get his attention after the fact. That means you're behind the eight ball, and you cannot be behind the eight ball at that moment. You can't. Everything has to be deliberate. And about 7 seconds ticked off because of this. That's time lost in a ridiculous time amount of time in football time. So, I mean, we just keep pointing out all this stuff. You know, we all know it as Jets fans. There's nothing here. And there's one side of the ball. Last point I'm going to make. One side of the ball plays better. They play better together. They look more like a well-oiled machine, even if they struggled in stopping the run, which goes with the territory, because this is what this offense, this defense was mostly built to chase, to basically chase a defense, an offense, trying to catch up, instead of offense that had time to basically plod down the field slowly. That's not what this defense is about. So you're putting them in the wrong place in the first place. In the first place, they're kind of in the wrong setting where their offense can't put points up. So they have to be better than they should be, in my opinion. And that kind of pressure breaks. After a while, I'm sorry, but they're going to break. And yep. That's kind of what happened with the Raiders and with the Raiders game. You just happen to have one of the best running backs in the NFL going up against the defense, who was pretty good. But guess what? He kept pounding and pounding and pounding on them until they broke. And that's basically what happened, you know? So, I don't know, man. Understand. Again, just to continue my train of thought, understanding situationally who you have on the field and what are you calling. There was a play, 2nd and 5 in the goal line at some point in the second quarter, I think, and there's a toss play or some kind of off-tackle play called in the direction of the Raiders' best defensive player. And guess who's trying to block him? Alan Lazard. That's all I got to tell you. Right. So you understand, again, what is going on here. If these things are falling through the cracks, this is what I'm saying. There are issues here, right? Because Coach Koo sent me a tweet earlier showing the video of Michael Carter's chop block, which they called a chop block. Well, it's only a chop block if the player is engaged with another player. And when you look at the video, the player, the offensive lineman the defensive lineman wasn't engaged with Mekhi Becton. Like they said, he was not. Mekhi Becton had not reached around to his side yet. Becton's attention was facing on the defensive end. He never turned in time. So if he wasn't engaged with Becton, why are you throwing the flag? All that is true. But every point we made is a landslide. The refs is a trickle. It's not a problem.
Yeah. And you know what? It's crazy because we're talking about, it's almost like the same game every week.
Yeah.
Right? A little different here and there. Like Zach played a little better. But,
yes.
You know, the penalties creeped up again on us. And, you know, you talk about the run game.
That's
exactly why you talk about preparation and preparing a game plan for the team. Again, we're playing against a team that has one of the worst rushing defenses in the league.
Can't run it.
Right. And we're not good against the run either. So, and what did they do? You said it. They kept pounding it and pounding it and pounding it until we broke. And that's what sometimes you got to do. You got to just keep going at it and saying, you know what? This team is not good against the run. Eventually, we're going to break through. And eventually they broke through, right? They you know, Jacobs, 27 carries.
Right?
I think he had 27 carries. Here's a comparison. This is what bothers me about this team, okay?
Yep.
Josh Jacobs, 27 carries for 116 yards.
Mm-hmm.
And he averaged 4.3. You look on the other side, our side.
Breece Hall, yep.
13 carries, 28 yards.
Ridiculous.
I don't think Breece – you want to say Josh Jacobs is a better running back than Breece Hall? Fine.
I'm yeah, not you could probably say that. Yeah. That's you. We could
Breece Hall is pretty good.
Honestly. Of course. Yeah. He's not far. He's not that far off. No.
No. So he should get more than 13 carries a game. He just should.
Right. And the problem, yeah. And I think what to bring your point home, the Jets were leading 9-3 for most of the first half or whatever it was. So this is perfect, right? Perfect time to line up your running backs and have them run the ball. Nope.
Right. You want to split the carries, him and Cook? All right. Yeah. I don't care.
Nope. And then they go away from the run. I understand that the offensive line has been struggling with moving the line of scrimmage. A lot of what I saw is that they just can't, bro. It's bad. They cannot get move the line enough. And if they're struggling with moving the line, then you have to create, as an offensive coordinator, runs that will help. Because there are runs that help offensive line play that when they struggle at moving the line of scrimmage. Misdirection, counters, come on.
Yeah.
And it speaks to the ineffectiveness of Hackett's play calling. It's not only the fact that the run game looks blah and bland, but also the passing game is ridiculous. So it's all around bad. Everything is bad. And even the good is basically covered up with bad. You know, because
it's all bad.
Yeah, it's all bad. And that's the thing, you know. That's the crazy thing. Because you know, there is good. Because Mekhi Becton had a really good game. But what's the point of talking about this when everybody else struggled?
Right.
You know? So Michael Carter was cut. I understand why they cut him. He was a third down back that struggled at catching the football, struggled at understanding his assignments, really struggled at breaking tackles when in his first year he looked more shifty. Don't know, he was never the same player after that first year. I don't know why. And they struggled to, they knew that they had a talented player in Abanikanda sitting on the bench, and they wanted to give him more carries. And it couldn't work with Carter. I don't know if they had to cut him, but that's their choice. That's the choice they had to make. And you know what? As much as I love Michael Carter, I really liked him as a person and a player. The way he was portrayed to us, he seemed like a genuine down-to-earth kid that had a lot of fun, and a lot of everybody liked him. And I feel bad when guys like that end up losing their job, but he wasn't on the streets for long. Arizona picked him up, so he's going to be playing in Arizona.
I personally like that he that's a good spot for him in my mind.
Yes,
they only got James Conner really there. The rest of the running backs are not good, so I think you add him to James Conner. You know, they both got 1 year left on their deals. You know, they go into the season. That's a good 1-2 punch.
Or the rest not bad. Yeah, not bad. But yeah, I think that the Jets have to do more of that. You know what I mean? As much as I hurt for Michael Carter, I think they need to do more of that. They need to be more aggressive, because you have to act like you have a problem. Because if you have a problem, you're going to dig everywhere, move heaven and earth to fix it. And if that means losing some of the more likable guys in the locker room, or sitting some guys down, even if they don't like it, the more likable guys, do it. CJ Uzomah has been struggling all year. Why is this guy getting snaps over Ruckert.
It's no sense.
Makes absolutely no sense, man. And I understand that some players, especially on the offensive line, there's nothing really we could do because we just don't have the body. You know, that the kid that's right now, X, what's his name? Xavier, whatever his name is, he's bad. It's horrible. But what, we don't have anybody else.
Right, we have right now.
We don't have a choice.
It's true. Know?
So, you know,
I look at Ruckert, real quick. I look at him as he's at least a better blocker than Uzama.
Oh, he is. He is. And because and Chris, he's not at least a better blocker. He's everything better than Uzama. I think the only thing that Uzama has over the kid is he has incredible amounts of experience. Other than that, and it doesn't count for anything. That's the thing. Even if you're more experienced, it should count for something. It hasn't. Because some of the mistakes that he makes are rookie mistakes. As a blocker, you have to bring your feet with you, right? That's one of the things you hear all the time when you're talking about blocking. When you don't bring your feet with you, you get into a position where you're leaning on people and you have to hold. You have to grab. This dude is almost like from his waist down, he's stiff as a board. His feet are never moving. He's reaching to get places where he has to get his hips into position. He can't. And that looks so bad. Take the younger player and put him there. Let him do those jobs.
Right. Let him make those mistakes.
Exactly. Because learn you something. Learn from it. Because guess what? He's incredibly athletic. That means that he'll have the tools to fix the issue. Right now, I don't think that CJ Uzama has the tools to fix those issues, and that's the problem, you know. And it's up to coaches to make these moves and make these cuts and bench these guys. And it might look bad, and people might be mad and uncomfortable. But guess what? We're in the business of winning. That's what we're in. You're charging people so-and-so amount of money, raising prices, asking people in advance for money, and you're not scoring touchdowns? And your coaches are sitting here talking about, oh, we have certain things. Man, make the changes now.
Right, we don't want to hear it. Do it.
I don't want to hear any excuses.
Exactly. I
hate $200-something for a ticket, and you're telling me about how, man, I don't want to hear anything about that.
Right. I want to see results. I really don't care what you do, to be honest. Just do it.
And that's what I'm saying. Everything we've been saying, Chris, everything we've spoken about, it just dawned on me that basically what the crux of the situation, the problem is, it seems like they're taking forever to do anything. Noticing and finding an issue, you know you have a problem. You come to the podium, Robert Saleh, you tell us you know you have a problem. What are you doing to change it?
And this is week 9. It's not even like week 2 or week 3. All right, you know, we got blindsided by, you know, losing Aaron Rodgers. It's week 9. There's no more excuses. Figure it out. You're coaching. This is what, listen, the defense, think about it. Against going into that Philly game, we had the 3 top cornerbacks out, right? We had those injuries. We had the offensive line. But you know what? They figured it out in that game. Maybe
Philly goes, it goes back. But it really goes – everything you just said, Chris, it just goes back to one of the most stark things that's the differences. One of the more stark differences between the offense and the defense. One of the reasons why these changes on defense don't create such a massive shift is because of leadership. You have corners, safety, linebackers, defensive linemen. Everybody falls in line because they are leaders everywhere you look. The problem is on offense, there's no leader. There's nobody. The person that everybody wanted to look up to, he's not there. He's on the bench, and he's probably not coming back. even if everybody's trying to dream that he is. And that's the problem. Because then the conversations are white noise because there's no leadership. There's very little leadership. Who in the wide receiver room? Garrett Wilson is a youngin. He hasn't done enough. Nobody's going to listen to him. And the guy that's supposed to be the one that's supposed to be the leader in Lazard, he's struggling right now.
Big time.
Exactly. So what do you say? You can't. Your words will fall on deaf ears. So you have all these issues. The tight end room, the same thing. The wide receivers, the same thing. The running backs, young.
Yep.
The quarterback, a backup. So right now, so the coaches need to find a way to spark this offense because there's enough talent on this team, but it's not being used properly. That's the reason why this team is struggling so badly. And going forward, find a way to be more creative on oh my goodness, come on. This is NFL football 2023. I don't know how many rub routes, different kinds of rubs and mesh concept. Man, mesh concept is so crazy. I've seen it like a gazillion different ways at this point. Every time I see a mesh concept, it looks different. I'm like, what? And I watched the Lions run mesh so many different ways. I don't even understand. And you can't even run it one time? You're running four verts like you're playing, like we're playing like 2023 Madden. What are we doing? We're talking 2003 Madden. I'm sorry.
Right.
You know what I mean? You know, but anyway, I mean, we've beaten this dead horse too much.
All right. So let's talk about it.
It is what it is.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about, listen, the crazy thing is about the Jets. This is where
yes.
I agree.
Is yes, that
the season is not over. Right.
Yep.
When you look at the, you know, the rank, not the rankings, but you look at the divisions and you look at the standings right now with the playoffs, they're basically a game out of the last wild card spot.
Crazy.
Houston's 5-4, we're 4-5. Now there's six teams, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, five teams in between us and Houston for that spot. That's the bigger problem. But even the division, right? Miami is 6-3, so we're only two games out, and we still got to play them two more times. We still got
to
play Buffalo one more time. So we got games. We're basically still in charge of our own destiny. That's the crazy part. As bad as we've played these last couple of weeks and as bad as we've looked, yeah, we're still in control of our own destiny. So that's the crazy part. But the next 2 weeks, right, Buffalo and Miami back-to-back, it could end real fast. these games are must-win games for us now, from now on, because I don't see any team making the playoffs in the AFC with less than 10 wins.
Agreed.
Right? So, and right now we got...
Pretty competitive.
Right now we got 4 wins. 4-5. So we got 8 games left. We have to go at the very least, 6-2.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of the way. Do I see that happening? No.
No.
Listen, in the NFL, we've seen crazy things, and we're going to talk about some of them coming up. And we do talk about it every week. That's something crazy happens. So anything is possible. What do you think is going to happen? Or give me a key into this Buffalo game, because now, real quick, Buffalo fired their offensive coordinator after this past week.
I mean, we've been talking about Buffalo the same way, just the same way that we've been talking about our team. The difference with Buffalo and our team is our team has sucked for a long time, so people don't pay attention. People are now paying attention to how bad the Buffalo Bills are. And I'm not talking about talent, because we know they're talented. I'm not talking about the quarterback, because I know that he's talented and the things they could do. The problem is an unbalanced football team on offense is a bad offense. I don't care how many points you could score. If you cannot, in the moments you need to, run the ball to keep the clock, then in my opinion, you're going to fail at NFL football unless you're a juggernaut offense, which they're not. That's the problem. We've been saying the same thing about the Buffalo Bills for the longest. So their quarterback is basically, you're putting so much pressure on him. He's pushing. He's kind of pushing a little bit. He's throwing the ball a little too high. He's pushing. He's throwing the ball too strong when he doesn't need to. It's going through the hands of wide receivers. He's throwing interceptions when he doesn't have to. Guess why? Because you don't have an accompaniment to what he does, which should be the running game. We've been saying this forever. We were going to talk about Singletary that left, and all of a sudden looks like a running back now, because when he was in Buffalo, he didn't. He looked like a backup, and we knew how talented he was. So I'm going too far with this, but Buffalo is, to me, has a major issue, and they might go spiraling if they don't take care of it. And to scapegoat their offensive coordinator, in my opinion, is crap. He wasn't the issue.
Okay. Not that I'm going to disagree, but I think since, and I keep saying it, right, since that Kansas City Buffalo game, that crazy playoff game, right, Daboll after that went to the Giants these last 2 years, and they've kind of gone down since then. And I'm not saying it's all Daboll, but maybe with Daboll's presence there, things would be a little different. I don't know.
It could be because a lot influence is a big thing in a locker room. And if Daboll was the one that, you know, was able to go to Josh Allen and go, yo, sit your ass down. You know what I mean? The play called for the ball to go here. The play called for the run. You don't get to audible out of it. You don't get to, if you understand me, this is the kind of the term, like the curse and the gift and the curse of having a quarterback like Josh Allen. You want to uplift his gifts and make him the star and you know what I mean, and crown him. But the way you do that is not being Josh Allen forward, because this is still an 11-man squad. You need everyone's in the game. You need everybody in the game. And if you're gonna be like my friends at the Bootleg Podcast likes to say, the fighting Josh Allen's, you're gonna keep losing. And that's the problem. The problem with them is that they're too Josh Allen forward. And I think Daboll did a good job of balancing that out. And you take him out, and there's no strong enough voice that's willing to go up against the star quarterback. And that's the problem.
So with the difference in the offensive coordinator, now they got Joe Brady at the OC. What do you see now with us now? Do you think that's going to be better for us? Do you think they're going to be fired up with the new offensive coordinator?
The thing about Brady, Joe Brady, for me, is it's still, wherever Brady went, Brady was always a throw first guy. So I don't think he's going to be the answer.
So basically nothing's going to change.
That's, to me, I don't see it. Now, maybe he has, because he lost two jobs. Didn't he have a coaching job? Or was he interim coaching somewhere?
Wasn't he? Oh, man.
Where was he? Wasn't he in Carolina at some point?
I think so, yeah. I think you're right. He's been the OC at Carolina the last 2 years.
Yeah, he was in Carolina, but his game, his the reason why he all to me he's one of these coordinators. It's all these brand new coordinators, not brand new because this guy's been around for a minute. But their belief in that whole passing game first thing and the running game as a side dish is ridiculous to me. The NFL is still the NFL. I don't care if it's 2023 or 22-19. To me, the NFL is still going to be the NFL. You need to be able to balance the game out and run the ball. And until they were able to out-physical teams on offense, they're going to, to me, they're going to still suffer. And I don't know if Joe Brady is the answer, man. I really don't. I think it's a good thing for us.
He was the OC with Carolina with Matt Rhule. And before that, he was the OC. He was the passing game coordinator and the wide receivers coach for LSU in 2019.
That's where he made that. Yeah, that's where he made all his money.
Yeah, before that, he worked with Sean Payton.
Yeah.
For a couple of years, so.
Yeah, I don't know if he's the answer.
Yeah. So what do you think? Listen, we do have a shot to beat them.
Probably. I think so too.
Well, right.
Because I think again, like I said, they're not going to be the Raiders. They're not going to line up, right? Or they haven't. They haven't been that team that, just like what the Raiders did to us, line up and force the ball down our throats. Because knowing what they know about the Jets were built to play with a lead on defense. And the fact that you're taking that away from them, all that pass rushing and all that you know, what they're good at, you're taking them out of their comfort zone and you're forcing them to play a more physical brand of football. If you would game plan the Jets, that's what you would do. But the problem is that's not what the Bills do. They want to throw the ball downfield. The problem with that is the Jets would welcome that. That's what they do best. That's why they have three of the best corners in the NFL. That's why they have one of the more aggressive, more physical pass rushers in the pass rushing teams in the NFL.
So now that we think that they could win the game, do you think they will win?
We still can't score touchdowns.
Yeah, exactly. That's still a problem.
Yeah. That's the problem. Until the Jets are scoring touchdowns, I'm not gonna put my faith in them winning any other games. I'm sorry. That's just how it is. I know by Sunday, on Sunday, watching the game, my sentiments will change because I'm gonna morph into what I am, which is a Jets fan. But right now, no.
Yeah, I have zero confidence in that offense right now. Zero. I think Buffalo's gonna do just enough to beat us. The big thing is, can the Jets defense win a game? I'm not saying they're losing any game for us. Maybe just the Dallas game they played bad, but can they actually go out there and win the game?
They have. Because this is the problem. Almost all the time the Jets have won this year, the Jets have had 3+ turnovers. That's your defense taking over. Right. Every time they've lost, it's because they had one turnover or two, a minus, or two or less turnovers. So basically, you're asking the defense to have four or more turnovers every game. That's impossible. You know, that's the issue. So the defense could, but you got to put them in the right position too. That means you got to take leads and you got to force teams to run with you. And they're just not doing that, you know? So I just, in good faith, I cannot pick the Jets right now because they're just in shambles on offense and there's nothing. It doesn't seem there's any cure in sight. And I don't know if they have it in them to do what it takes to kind of rebrand this offense and make it into something that I think, because if it was me right now, I think Lazard would not be a prominent part of my passing game. Can't. I would demote him to a third level wide receiver, and I would take Gibson and Taylor and give them more chances. It sounds ridiculous, right? But if your wide receiver,
if he's not making plays,
if he's dropping
the ball,
right. He can't, like you said, right now he's just struggling. Like the ball is like a metal orb to him right now. That pass that Zach Wilson so beautifully stepped up and kind of contorted himself and threw the side arm to him, hit him right in the chest. And he had to catch the ball like three times.
Yeah. If you can't make a play, then like you said, bench him. That's all. If he's a professional, yeah, he'll understand why he's being benched. Right?
But in my opinion, you don't even have to, because there's things he could do well. I think he could still be a good blocking wide receiver. Just put him in the first, use him more as a slot. Have Gibson or Taylor play outside. You know, give
Brownlee a shot too. You know, we got him.
Yeah, whatever.
Right, something.
You know,
shake it up. You got
nothing. That's what I'm saying. But do they have it? What it takes to do that? That's the problem.
All right. So we got past that. So let's get into our looking back at last week's games a little bit. Our five biggest games that happened. So we're talking about Buffalo. Let's talk about that one. Monday night, Denver at Buffalo. Everybody thought Denver was going to go in there and probably lose to Buffalo, but we're talking about Buffalo. So let's continue the discussion. Like, what do you think happened there? Like, we talked about Buffalo. Let's get into Denver a little bit.
Yes.
A little bit. Like, what do you see in the turnaround with Denver?
Defense. That same defense is the defense that gave up 70 points.
Yep.
And now teams are struggling to put up points against them. You can't run the ball on them. You can't throw the ball on them. They're playing really good defense now. Everybody's hustling. Everybody's getting to the ball. Their pass rush is starting to get alive. I still think it's lacking, but it's there. Because of the coverage, I think it's kind of raising its head a little bit. So I would side with the fact that the Broncos are getting better, because I think that offense is what it is. It is. It's kind of been the same. It's kind of like a little above average NFL offense. It could score 21 to 25 points, maybe here and there. You know, they will average about 18 points. You know, about an average NFL offense. That's not bad. Russell Wilson will make a few plays here and there. He did not turn the ball over this game. That helped. And he was efficient as hell with them being able to, they were able to turn the ball over multiple times, which aided them overall, I think. So, you know, most definitely the Broncos are playing better defense. That's why their team are playing, better
last
overall.
Four games, to add to what you're saying, just to prove your point. Last four games at Kansas City, they lost 19-8. Then they won three straight, 19-17, 24-9, and then 24-22.
There you go.
So defense right there.
Yeah.
Next game you want to talk about. How about Houston against Cincinnati?
Yes, sir.
Did any of us see Houston right now? No.
Nobody. And not against the Houston. I'm not against the Bengals, who we know who they have. I mean, I know they had one of their wide receivers out. But
they got three.
But they have really good ones. They have tight ends, they have running backs, they have so much weapons.
Yeah,
and Joe Burrow was not, you know, was not bad.
No.
It was just that the Texans are so good. And the fact that they're so young and they're still able to perform at the time, at these most important times in the game, they come up with these big plays. All these young players, all these rookies, everybody's contributing on a high level. Tank Dell, who I remember coming out with, you know, was so dynamic in college. But I doubted the size, man. I'm not going to lie. I'm like, this dude is too small, man. The thing is, if I watched him long enough, I would have seen that this dude is a tough mofo. The kind of hits he takes, does not drop the ball, and he just gets up. I'm like, what is this dude made of? Steel? I don't understand. And his route running, his speed, the fact that they could use him in so many different ways, is the reason why he performs the way he performs, and he accentuates what his quarterback does well, which is get the ball to him in a hurry. Because guess what, guys? I think we've just discovered a new star quarterback, man, in CJ Stroud. Crazy. After that incredible game he had last week, he came back with another 300-something yards passing game. Even if he didn't have five touchdowns this time, he had a TD and an interception, but he was, I mean, integral. Like, he made the plays he needed to make. That scramble for the touchdown in the fourth quarter, that incredible. He's understanding what the defense was in man, that everybody's back is turned to him. Boom, make the decision. Take off.
And he's a rookie.
He's a rookie. You know? and I was talking about before, not to cut you off, I just want to point this out. Talking about what how the Bills struggle to use players. Devin Singletary at the Bills. Sometimes, like, you drafted the guy. You didn't know what he's capable of? He goes to Houston, has 30 carries, 150 yards, averaging 5 yards a carry. We never saw that Singletary over there, no? One time.
No. I don't think he ever got 15 carries, let alone 30.
Coaching, coaching. Yep. That's, in my opinion, when you have a bunch of young guys playing that way, they're taught to play the way they're playing. Big ups to the coaching down there.
Yeah. Think about coaching. I you know what? You're talking about D'Amico Ryan's possibly coach of the year this year. And you got C.J. Stroud, not just rookie, forget about rookie of the year. This guy's going to be in the MVP conversation.
Crazy.
And he's a rookie. This is probably going to be the greatest rookie season we've ever seen
played. If he continues playing like that, and Lord willing, he doesn't get injured, yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah.
I want to make one more point about coaching. I talk about Tank Dell, right? There's Robert Woods is there too, right? Old Fogey playing wide receiver over there. Did you see that name? Noah Brown?
Yeah.
Yeah. 7 catches for 172 yards.
I think a lot of people didn't know that name.
What are we talking about?
Yep.
Wasn't that guy he flamed out in Dallas? Was he in Dallas?
No.
That's where he was, right?
That's a good question.
I'm trying to remember where he was before, but this, in my opinion, when you're taking players and you're putting them in position to, because if you're in the NFL, you're skilled.
Yep.
Coaches have to find ways to accentuate what you do best, and that's what the Texans coaches have been doing, man. And you kind of see the chinks in the armor. You see the turnovers here and there. You see the mistakes somehow. But when you watch that offense play, you could tell that they're coached well and they understand. In big moment, they stand up. Everybody stands up. Offensive line stands up. By the way, they have one of the best left tackles in the NFL. No, people don't even talk about him anymore. Like, he doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't exist. You know why? Because he's all day, every day, the same dude. You can't do anything. You can't move him in the pass game, and he will eat you at, like, he'll beat the crap out of you in the run game. But I would be remiss if I did not mention how good this linebacking core on that defense is playing. Oh my goodness. These guys are relentless. Oh man, the pass rushes, man, Perryman, Perryman has revived his career. Cashman created a career because now this is crazy, right?
Yep.
Rankins balling over there. I mean, it's incredible to watch. Jonathan Grenard is a monster. Special
going on there for sure.
Yes, sir.
We can talk about quick Cleveland at Baltimore. Cleveland, of course, we know Deshaun Watson now is done for the year, shoulder surgery. That's going to affect them big time because I think P.J. Walker's their backup.
He's okay,
but
he's not that guy. No. I think before the crazy thing about the Watson injuries, I went back to watch the game trying to see where he injured his shoulder. I don't know. I don't see it. I really don't see where he injured his shoulder. And even when he, in his interview, when he was asked, he said that he felt like his shoulder was strange, but he didn't think in any way, shape, or form that it was that bad. and he was still trying to cope with it, understand what happened, which I just don't understand. The only thing I would say was he was incredibly off the mark all game. Could not get the ball placed right. He had guys that were open that he just threw to the right instead of the left. It just looked all over the place. The good thing is that defense is crazy. Yep. They have pass rushers, linebackers. Their DB room is on par with almost any good DB room. And if you don't believe me, the team that was basically running roughshod over the NFL in the last couple of weeks in the Ravens, who had a 14-point lead, almost didn't score any points for the rest of the game because of the Browns. They just kept tripping over the Browns over and over again and punting and punting and punting and sacking, which is something you don't hear a lot of. It's the sacking of Jamar Jackson so many times. You don't see that.
They made it 31-17 with 11 and a half minutes left.
Yeah.
And they lost that game.
Yeah. Crazy. Because the defense just kept coming.
Yep.
It just kept coming, man. And it's going to be
crazy.
It's a sad thing to see their quarterback go down because I think to a certain degree, I saw a little bit of what they would like from him come through. But just not enough, man. It's just sad to waste a defensive team like that.
The crazy thing quickly, we always talk about how good Cincinnati is. Cincinnati is in last place in that division at 5-4. And they are right now out of the playoffs, as good as the Bengals are.
Crazy.
Right?
Yep.
So, another game, Atlanta and Arizona. The only reason why I wanted to bring it up was Arizona. This was the game that Kyler Murray returned finally.
Yes.
I know he only beat Atlanta, but he actually looked pretty decent on his one game back.
Well, you have to remember the man was paid a bunch of money, and you know, there's a reason when you get paid in the NFL, they pay you for a reason now. You know, there's a reason why he got paid the amount of money he got paid. He's a very talented player. He has his shortcomings. That's the problem. And
he's literally
my pun. Pun definitely not intended, and not trying to make fun of the guy's height. I'm not that tall myself. What's that?
You might be taller than him. He's listed at 5'10", but I don't think he's 5'10".
No, he's not my height. He's shorter than me, man. I gotta say it is what it is. I think his energy and his playmaking ability kind of always energizes the team.
Yeah, and you know what? I said it before about Michael Carter. I think it's a really good landing spot for him. I think he's going to get playing time, which is what he wanted. Supposedly, that's the reason why he was cut, whatever. But I think that's a good spot for him. Atlanta,
he's still
looking for a quarterback, you know.
And Ritter is just not it right now, man.
Well, what's his name was in?
Heinicke was in. Yeah. So, in for a while. Yeah, he was in. Ritter got injured. That's why he was out, right? Because I think he threw like 6 passes in the game.
I can't remember. He started.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, he did.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I think Ritter came back. I think he came in and led them to come back at the end.
Oh, okay. All right. To be honest, I did not watch this game. So,
yeah, no, I don't think many people did. So,
yeah.
And then last game, quick, Detroit at the Chargers. Of course, what happens at a game that the Chargers play, we know.
The Charger.
Yeah.
The Chargers going Charger.
Hey, they figure out a way to lose, right? But they did put up a good fight. But.
Yeah. I would say this is probably the best game I had seen out of the Chargers quarterback all season.
Yeah.
I'll say that. I love to see the fact that the Lions did not play dead after what the Ravens did to them. You know, that's the thing. I think Goff came back being Goff, 23 of 33 for two TDs and 333 yards passing.
And their running game is back, right?
They got
Montgomery back, and now they got Gibbs. That's a that's an offense to worry about, you know.
Yeah. It's always been an offense to worry about. A lot of what they do is basically about their offense. They were able to get a turnover from the Chargers, get an interception. I think they should be better on defense. But there you go. I think your point making about the Chargers, I think that's what happens. I think they fall short a lot of times, you know, playing ball. They just almost everything is like they're almost, it's an almost thing for them. It's never complete. I can't put my finger on it. This is one of those teams that just baffles me, man. The way they played the Jet, right? The way they played us, I'm like, wait, really? And then you watch them in this game, and to me, this is a game where they should have been more physical, right? With, you know, enough of the whole fancy. To me, trying to play the kind of game they tried to play with the Lions, to me, that was a detriment to them. I think they should have been more physical with the Lions. And the fact that they weren't, I think, spoke is one of the reasons why, you know, they struggled. Not that they didn't try, because Eckler had like almost, like, I think he had 20 carries. I don't remember how many yards he had, but.
And Detroit is normally good against the run, but I want to see them be a little bit, if they're better against the pass as the year goes by, as the season goes on, that's going to be a team to worry about in the playoffs. Because now they got their running game is going. Like you said, Goff is really good. I think he's underrated. If that defense could just get better against the pass, it's going to be a team to really worry about. Otherwise, they're going to be in a game like this in the playoffs, and they're going to end up losing, you know. But So, all right, let's quickly look at Week 11 before we head on out. First game we definitely got to talk about is obviously Thursday night's game. Finally a good game on Thursday night. Talking about Cincinnati earlier, last place in the North. Well, they got a chance to catch the team that's in first, Baltimore, at 7-3. That's going to be Thursday night. Cincinnati at Baltimore.
Hell of a game, because even if both Baltimore lost, both Baltimore and Cincinnati lost. I think Cincinnati losing to Houston on paper looks like them losing to a team that's significantly below their stature. But again, like we pointed out before, right now Houston is playing like one of the better teams in the NFL. So it was kind of a surprise to see them up there with the Bengals. But I don't think the Bengals are not as bad, but I don't think they're, you know, falling apart or anything like that. I think they're still gonna cause major issues for tons of teams. We know what they have on the outside at wide receiver. Their quarterback is one of the best in the NFL. They could run the ball and they could play incredible defense. So not worried about them.
Yeah.
The Ravens, on the other hand, they have to play cleaner games and let that defense speak. Because when the defense is not playing to their best and the offense is off, like the offense, to me, the offense hasn't been able to carry them. And it's up to the running game, in my opinion, because the kid, Michelle, who's the second, I don't even want to call him a backup, because it's more like thunder and lightning with him and Edwards. I think that's a great match, a great 1-2 punch. And I think if they go from there, I think it's going to give this offense and this team they're going to be almost unbeatable, because when they could run the ball on you, and then you know what Jackson could do. I think you add all that together, and the fact that they could play elite level defense, they're going to be hard to beat.
And a couple of key guys out for both teams. Bengals are going to be without T. Higgins, and the Ravens
again, second year, second game. I mean,
and the Ravens are going to be without their left tackle Ronnie Stanley. So,
oh wow,
so those are key injuries that we're going to look out for in that game. And to me, Baltimore, I think the key is going to be right Lamar Jackson down the stretch. We've seen him miss what, 6-7 games the previous 2 years. So, can he put in a full season?
That's a great question.
Right.
Good question. He could. I'm still asking for more in the passing game. I think he does enough. He's been doing just enough. I don't know if that's what in an NFL game. I don't think that's that, especially an MVP level player. I think he needs to do more than just being just enough as an NFL passer.
And this guy has not played more than 12 games going back to 2020.
Wow.
So last 3 years, he's missed games. Last year, he missed five. The year before, he missed four games. So that's the thing to watch out for now the rest of the year, because he's been injury-free. He's been looking good. So let's see how long it lasts. So go to the other two teams in the AFC North. They're playing against each other. Pittsburgh. At 6-3 is playing at the Browns at 6-3. So the Browns know no Deshaun Watson the rest of the way. So that's 2 years of wasted Deshaun Watson for them since they traded for him and gave him that stupid contract. I'm not going to say it was a smart contract. So, So both teams coming in. This is huge, man. Pittsburgh, they're another team that can't score points, but guess what? They got six wins. So they figured something out.
Yeah, they figured how to play their game. Their game is to, hey, we can't score a bunch of points, but guess what? We're going to pull you down here into the mud and wrestle you. That's where we're strong. So can you wrestle us in the mud and beat us? That's the question. And teams have struggled to beat them down there. Playing that, slow, plodding game that they like to do, where they're just, they just kind of inch by inch, some paper cut, little small paper cuts here and there, just beating you. By the time you're done, you're like, wait a minute, I didn't even feel all that, but I guess I got beat up. And that's basically what it is with them. Normally the hammer laid by them is Watt in with an interception or some crazy sack. But yeah, their passing game is anemic. Probably that's what you would call that. They're able to run the ball well, but what they depend on most is their defense. And with Fitzpatrick, their safety, still injured, these corners, in my opinion, are vulnerable. And if you could hold up long enough against that pass rush and get the ball downfield, you could beat them. The problem is the Browns don't have a quarterback that could get their wide receivers the ball. So I say the Steelers win this game.
Yeah, I think it's just going to be an ugly, an ugly fight in the dirt. And Pittsburgh maybe, I don't know. I don't know who's going to – I'm going to go with Cleveland just because they're home and I like their defense a little better. Obviously a lot better than Pittsburgh. But another game, maybe not that interesting on paper, but – we got San Fran coming off a huge win last week against Jacksonville. They got Tampa coming into town. Can Tampa kind of slow down this offense? Because San Fran's offense now looks like, with Debo back, Purdy had a good...
Yeah, they look like what they look like in the beginning of the season.
Exactly.
They're back on track. That's what it's looking like. And Tampa, on the other hand, Baker has been playing well. But can he keep this up? That's the question. He has a couple of bad games here and there. But guess what? He hasn't been playing that bad. Their defense haven't been playing that bad either. So to me, this is an interesting matchup. But I still side in with the 49ers. I think a healthy 49er team. They just added Chase Young on that line. He hasn't even started yet. To me, I think that's just scary when you think about it.
Yeah.
So Yeah, so yeah, I can't bet against the 49ers. I think they're going to be a problem.
Yeah, I would have to agree. Because I think, you know, before this little skid they had, I thought San Fran was the best team in the league, and yep. they look like it this week. So another good matchup, I think, and I think we both think, is Minnesota at Denver. It's two teams that are, especially Denver, the last few weeks, we just talked about them, right? The last 4 weeks, defense starting to, you know, come to life. Offense, just enough to win games. So now they come home with a three-game winning streak, just beating Buffalo. And now they got Minnesota, who's every week seems to, you know, Joshua Dobbs the last couple of weeks has looked great, winning games. What's going to break here?
Yeah. This is one of the most interesting things. Matchups, in my opinion, and one of the reasons why I think it's interesting is because both of these teams are on the rise, and they're on the rise for separate reasons. One is on the rise because of because their defense has arisen out of the muck, which is the Broncos. How could you rescue a season after a team put 70 points on you? That's what they're working on right now. And it seems like week after week, they've been, the pass rush is a little bit more lively. They've covered better, a little bit more urgency. The run game is not that bad. Their quarterback is being a little bit consistent. I know he's still not the Russ everybody thinks he should be, but I think he's performing well enough. Don't know if that's going to serve them well in the long term. But right now it has. I just think the Vikings defense is just too good right now. I think they have their vulnerabilities. The problem is I just don't think the Broncos offense is enough to break that vulnerability. So I like Minnesota because if I'm correct, Vikings offense is like fifth in the NFL right now. Overall. I have a feeling I'm right. But I would go with the Vikings winning this game because I just think that as well as the Broncos defense has been playing, I think they still have their vulnerabilities. And I think the Vikings, Josh Dobbs, are perfectly positioned to kind of beat them right now.
The only thing is with Minnesota, their offense has been – I mean, their running offense has been, like, non-existent.
That's the problem, bro. Yeah, that's agree.
They've been throwing the ball well. I think they're third in passing yards per game. Total yards, they're 10th. Points scored, they're 12th. So they're right there. They are up there. It's yeah. just – I think that running game is 29th in the league.
That's not good.
So, yeah. But – the Broncos are last against the rush. So maybe they'll get their running game going.
Maybe.
Yeah. The great thing about this week, I think this is the first week, every primetime game, Thursday night, we talked about it. Cincinnati at Baltimore is Thursday night. Sunday night, we just talked about Minnesota against Denver. And then Monday night is the big matchup. The replay of last year's Super Bowl, Philadelphia at Kansas City. Can Philly I don't want to say get revenge, but can they erase that loss a little bit? Just a little bit, obviously, because it's a regular season game, but can they erase that loss a little bit against Kansas City? In Kansas City, Philly, I think both teams coming off a bye, if I'm not right. Kansas City didn't play last week. I think both teams.
They didn't play. Kansas City didn't play last week, did they?
Both, yeah. So both teams coming off a bye.
There you go.
Very interesting.
Very interesting.
Yeah, it is. Because Philly's coming off a bye, and we know how good – we talk about it every year, how good Andy Reid is coming off a bye. So – and he's playing against his former team.
Yep.
What are your thoughts on this game? Because both teams, when you look at their record, you're like, oh, they're playing great. But I think both teams have had their you know, haven't looked that impressive, I think, every week. Because we talk about Philly every week, not looking their best, mistakes, and just not playing their best. I think Kansas City, too. Like, we haven't seen them, especially the last time we seen them, they lost to Denver, right? Wasn't that the game?
Yeah, Kansas City issues is a little bit more.
In Germany, they won.
Yeah, I think Kansas City's issues on offense is more localized. I think you could find, if you look, you just know that their wide receiver core is the issue. They're way too splashy. They will make like one or two really great plays. The problem is it's just one or two. They're in no way consistent. And because of that, I think the offense struggles at times. I think that's the issue. I think they could run the ball. I think they, of course, you know, they have Hall of Fame level tight end play. I think overall they have players, you know, they have Hall of Fame level quarterback. And but the problem is at wide receiver, there's not enough consistent play there. That's the problem. With the Eagles, I don't understand it. I don't understand what it is that's holding them back, because they got the players. They have the players. They have the offensive line. They have the quarterback. They have the running backs. They have the wide receivers, tight ends, great defense. I think if you point out to anything, the thing you worried most about is the fact that the back end of that defense is giving up way too many yards. And that's the problem, that they have a passing game issue right now on defense. But on offense, they're not. It's not. And the fact that they're week in and week out, they're two different teams, and there's no real consistency in the way they're playing on offense, other than the fact that AJ Brown is a beast. Yeah, I think the two teams, yeah, you're right, that they haven't really played their best game. But the fact that they've won that many games, even when they're not at their best, to me, speaks volumes about the kind of teams they are. They're still the cream of the crop.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty crazy, because you look at Philly offensively, they're third in points per game, sixth in yards per game, ninth in passing yards per game, eighth in rushing yards per game, second in time of possession. So they're all up there. But their defense, like you said, especially against the pass, they're 28th. Passing yards against per game. So against the run, they're much better. They're first. That defensive line,
yeah,
talk about it all the time, how good they are. They're fifth in sacks. KC, on the other hand, they're third in sacks. So I think that's where, if the Eagles could improve, is the back end of their defense, the corners. And I would say Slay is still going to be solid the rest of the way. Bradbury has looked, I don't want to say he's looked old. He just looks stiff out there. So either he's hurt or something. I don't know. But
it could be. It could be. Or it could be Father Time.
Could be. You know, for corners, it's like a running back, right? When they hit 30.
Yeah, man. They hit a wall, bro. Yeah. Yep. I totally agree with you there. That is a possibility. Because there were grumblings about these guys a couple years ago. They were like, a lot of those guys, both of those guys are guys that are, I wouldn't go as far as saying retreads, but they were on the backside of their careers. So people were like, you know, are these guys really going to, you know, and they played elite level corner for 2 years. And they just haven't been that this year. So maybe that was the last gasp of their careers. Maybe not. We'll see.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right, that's our show for tonight. Hope you enjoyed it, and enjoy week 11 games. It's crazy to even say that we're in week 11, but yeah, we're week 11, man. This season is rolling along, and Thanksgiving is next week, so we'll probably talk to you guys before Thanksgiving, but enjoy it. Enjoy the games, and we will talk to you guys next week.
Take it easy, guys.